Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I first met Walter Wink my first year in seminary. Walter was 1 year older than me and was working on his THD, that's the Doctor of Theology degree. He was the tutor for my New Testament class with Professor John Knox. That sounds like a good Presbyterian name, but John Knox was a Methodist. As tutor, Walter graded tests and graded papers. And I remember well, yes, to this day, writing a paper on a particular passage from one of the Gospels. And when it came back to me, it was marked with loads of comments and the suggestion that I read two books. One was written in German, and the other one in French. I guess Walter wanted to indicate the scholar that he was, with his rich knowledge of the whole field of New Testament studies. Well, I thought the comments were a bit much. And it was the only time in my whole education that I went directly to the professor to question the comments or a grade given by a tutor. And Professor Knox looked at my paper and Walter's remarks and commented, "You need to forgive Walter. He's writing on that same passage for his PhD dissertation." Well, Walter received his doctorate 1 year after my graduation, and for 5 years he then served as a pastor of a Methodist church in Texas. He then returned to Union Theological Seminary, was an assistant professor of New Testament, and then promoted to associate professor of New Testament. In 1976, he was denied tenure. Walter later wrote in one of his early books that he had learned as a parish minister to say and to write only what the average intelligent person could read. Some of his articles for this reason were rejected by prestigious theological journals for being, and I quote, chatty or popular. In 1973, his book titled The Bible in Human Transformation was published. It immediately became a bestseller in religious circles. But it began with the sentence which I'm sure led to his being denied tenure. It begins with this sentence: "Historical biblical criticism is bankrupt." Union, as a result, denied tenure, and Walter went to Hartford Seminary and later came back to New York and taught at Auburn, which is housed in the same building as Union, and Walter stayed there for the remainder of his career. During this time, he apologized more than once to me for the way he treated my paper. And Walter and I became good friends. That book, The Bible in Human Transformation, was used by many church Bible study groups, and I developed a respect for the later writings of Walter. With his wife, June, who was a pottery artist and dancer, he held workshops all around the world that combine religious-themed pottery and dancing and biblical interpretation. In 2006, Walter was found to have dementia. And 2 years later, he and his wife ended their workshops. And in May of 2012, he died. The cause was complications of his dementia. All in all, Walter published 16 books and hundreds of articles. And central to his writings and central to his workshops was his understanding that Jesus saw his task as not so much helping people to prepare for the next life, but as helping them to be more human in this life. His last book, published just this past June, was titled Just Jesus, My Struggle to Become Human. Wink wrote that his early years in biblical study in the seminary led to a great deal of research, but none of this was really deepening his own life. In all of Wink's writings, he moves from simply studying the Bible to understanding the historical context and the origin of text to what became most important for him. And that was letting the message of the Bible and the stories of the Bible have a transforming effect. And that was always Walter's terminology. Letting those stories and the basic story of the Bible have a transforming effect on the person reading. To read the biblical story, to read the story of the patriarchs and the prophets, the psalmists and the gospel writers and the letters of Paul and others, is to really engage them in such a way that they speak to us in our present situation. And it is to confront Jesus not only in the historical setting contained in the scriptures, but to allow Jesus to leap from the page into our own personal experience. I personally would describe this difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. The Bible's concept of knowing is to be in relationship with. Knowing Jesus is a personal experience, or to use Walter's term, to be transformed by that encounter. In his classes, in his workshops, Walter and June sought to assist participants to discover the relevance of a scriptural passage in its original setting, but then even more to discover its relevance for us. In Just Jesus, My Struggle to Become Human, he indicates that Jesus is the author of our humanity. And the goal of this final book of Walter's is, as he described it, the humanization of Jesus. I believe in like fashion, when he read the stories of Old Testament, we discover the stories of individuals starkly human. As we read them, even without taking them out of their particular historical setting, they still speak to us. They are developed out of the struggle of the soul. The book of Hebrews, which Debbie read from this morning, in reflecting on the stories of the patriarchs of the Hebrews, speaks of them as heroes and heroines of faith. To call them men and women of faith is not to say that they are marvelous examples of piety or spiritual depth. They weren't. Nor is it to say that they had all the correct beliefs and all the right answers, or that they were sound in their understanding of the ways of God. They were not. Nor to say that they were models to lift up because of their good behavior. They were not. The writer of Hebrews calls them heroes and heroines of faith, with faith being defined most simply and most profoundly as simple trust. Those stories speak to us today because our deepest need is to trust. I am becoming more and more convinced that the struggle of the soul is primarily the struggle to trust. To trust, first of all, the Spirit within us. That is, to trust ourselves and to trust others and to trust God. I'm becoming more and more convinced that life is built on trust. When I read the stories of the patriarchs and the prophets, I find they're in stories of trust, and it is at that level that those Bible stories speak to me. Abraham and Sarah had no idea where God was leading them when God called them to set out for a place where they were going to receive an inheritance. They simply trusted. Do any of us really know where life's road is taking us? Their story speaks to us. Or Jacob, banished from his home because of his conniving, his lying, his pulling off the shady deal. Jacob, who for the rest of his life was engaged in a struggle with himself, with other people, and with God. The God who was experienced as a presence in the very midst of that struggle. And that struggle forged trust on Jacob's part. All of us who have struggled over mistakes that have been made, with the hurts brought on others and ourselves, need to identify with Jacob's trust. His story speaks to us. Moses never reached the promised land. From a mountain, he saw it. So for those of us who dream of a new heaven and a new earth, dream of a time when God's kingdom will really be manifested here on earth and God's will be done on earth, even as in heaven, are periodically through worship service or experience out in nature, seem to be lifted up from the morass of present day injustices and humanities and hurt and pain, lifted up to what we call mountaintop experiences, in which there seems to be that clearer vision. We won't get there. Not in this lifetime. But we can trust. And the story of Moses and the story of others speak to us. And what can be said of the patriarchs and the prophets can be said of Jesus himself. Yes, as we sang in our first two songs this morning, oh, sing a song of Bethlehem, and just a few minutes ago, tell me the story of Jesus. For in Jesus, I discover one whose whole life was a life of trust. You know, maybe some people are drawn to the life of Jesus because they're enthralled by miracles that he performed. Well, that doesn't happen to be me. Some people are drawn to the life of Jesus because they are moved by the acts of healing that he performed. That doesn't happen to be me. And maybe others by the principles of teaching and preaching. That also isn't me, which draws me to this very human Jesus of Nazareth, with all his very human emotions of fear and anger and hurt, coupled with emotions of love and compassion. What draws me to Jesus is, in the words of Walter Wink, thank you, Walter. I have learned so much from you. What I've learned from Walter is that Jesus is the author of our humanity. What draws me to Jesus is spelled out in Matthew 29:43, where in a mocking way by those who stood at the foot of the cross and the chief priests and the scribes call out to him, he trusts in God. Let's be honest. That trust did not save Jesus from death, but that trust brought him through it. Remember the story we told last week about Jesus shortly before his arrest and trial and crucifixion? It was the story of him retreating to one of his favorite places, quiet places, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in prayer, Jesus struggled with the spirit within, which he identified as God's spirit. Oh God, if it's possible, let this cup be removed. Yet, boy, that's one of the most significant words in all of Scripture, either the word yet or the word nevertheless. Yet not my will, O Father, but thine be done. And that struggle continues right up until he's on the cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then that most powerful statement of faith, of trust, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What draws me to Jesus of Nazareth is that trust. In that trust, I find the way, the truth, the life. Every time I read the stories of the Old and New Testament, every time I read the stories from the life of Jesus, and later from the life of Paul and all those who followed, I am moved by the trust exhibited. In telling the biblical story, it speaks to me. It speaks to me not just intellectually, it speaks to me not just because of its great drama and its stories of courage and compassion. It speaks to me because at the very depths of my being, there is trust. Transforming me, to use Walter's term, encouraging, enabling me to also trust. Let us bow together in prayer. Eternal God, we are thankful for the words of the Scriptures when they become for us a living word with its transforming power to change our lives. Amen.